Have you ever heard someone say, "No one knows how I feel"? I think most of us at some point have heard someone say that, or maybe, in fact, we've said that ourselves. At some time of distress, when we're feeling alone, when we are feeling defenseless, maybe, "No one understands how I feel." And I suppose that there are certainly times all of us have been in that situation. When we are struggling with things in life, when there are feelings of depression, pain, maybe addiction, when we're dealing with some real issues in life. And even for Christians, sometimes when we are dealing with temptations, because temptations come to all of us, the sins of the flesh. And when maybe we try to seek help from those who have been there before, even, maybe sometimes that doesn't even help. Sometimes we all feel that no one can possibly know how I feel. No one can help. No one can understand the problems. No one can understand the temptations that I'm dealing with. We might all be there. There is one who understands. Jesus knows how we feel. Jesus can understand us. The fact is, we have an understanding Savior who can aid us in time of need. We have one who will assist us when trials abound. And Scripture helps us to see why He is able to help us. Take your Bibles. You'll be taking your Bibles a lot today. And turning to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and beginning in verse 6 or verse 14. The Hebrew writer had some good things to say here, just helping us to understand the place and the position of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, beginning. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus understood temptation. Because we can say of Jesus, He was there. He experienced it. He understands. When we look in the book of Luke in chapter 4, and I'd like you to turn with me, Luke chapter 4, we're reminded of the temptations that Jesus faced. It was shortly after His baptism that Satan came and tested Him in incredible ways. Luke chapter 4, beginning verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days He ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, He was hungry. And the devil said to Him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.'" We try to think and envision, even for a moment, just the temptation that Jesus would have felt. As the text would say, He was led by the Spirit of God, and yet His temptation was not a random event. This event occurred just after the baptism of Jesus, as we said. And God claimed Him to be His Son in the text. And it was then that Satan came in this way to tempt Jesus on this very basis, that if you are the Son of God, as though to tease Him and to tempt Him just that way. I think the text in Luke here at least implies that Jesus was tested continually. There are three major temptations that are listed for us here. But the way the text reads, we understand He was tempted for 40 days. The temptations, that are listed are not the only ones. There are just some examples that's given. But we see the craftiness of Satan in this. Here Jesus was alone. He was hungry, physically exhausted. And yet how does Satan tempt Him? With food. Satan exploited the present circumstances of Jesus in order to make Him stumble. And Satan used scriptural appeals even to lure Christ into sin, to make it seem as though sin would be okay. And if Satan was so bold to tempt the very Son of God, we ought not to think ourselves or fool ourselves to think that he will not tempt us, because he will. And Jesus struggled with the temptations that he faced. Again, it was the Hebrew writer who said, For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, speaking of Christ, in Hebrews 2 and verse 18. And it was in chapter 4 of Hebrews that he says that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are. And so what we need to understand is that Jesus knows something about temptation. He's been on the receiving end of temptation. And sometimes I'm afraid we view Jesus as defeating Satan without any difficulty at all. But that's not so. That's not what the text says. It's not a fair view of what Jesus dealt with. But Jesus struggled with temptations in the way that we do. He suffered with these things, was tempted in all points, even as we are. If it had been that Jesus could not, under any circumstance, have fallen to sin, then he would not be able to understand us. Then he would not be able to understand how we struggle with temptations. But the fact is, in that regard, he was like us. He was tempted. He could have fallen to temptation, but he overcame anything that Satan could throw his way. Jesus understood temptation, and he defeated everyone that he faced. We also should know that Jesus understood that his friends would let him down. At one time, Jesus had many disciples turn and walk away from him. In John chapter 6, you might recall. In chapter 7 of John, his own brothers even denied him. It was at the Last Supper that Jesus gave those predictions concerning Judas in Matthew chapter 26. In verse 14, first the text tells us, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Jesus, of course, is on the receiving end of that betrayal. And even before it took place, Jesus knew what was coming. Verse 21, Jesus said as they were eating, he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." We've talked in the John class some about this very episode, trying to imagine Jesus sitting at the table, eating the Passover meal with his disciples, knowing that one sitting across the table from him would actually betray him just hours from them. The very man who was ready to betray the Lord was there sitting with him. And Jesus knew it was Judas. And you have to think about the pain that that would have inflicted on the Lord. It was after the supper that the Lord predicted Peter's denial of him. Matthew 26, still in verse 34, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you," he's speaking to Peter, he says, "to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." You try to imagine, you try to think again here that what Jesus understood, he knew that he had friends that were going to let him down. He had disciples that had walked away from him. Even one of his closest associates will betray him. And after the arrest of Jesus, all of his disciples forsook him. Verse 56, then all of the disciples forsook him and fled. We try to imagine. Jesus understood what it was like to have his friends let him down. Jesus also understood that he must die. And Jesus was willing to do that. It was the eternal purpose of God to give up his own son. When Jesus came to earth, he knew his purpose. He knew what was going to happen. We know very well what Scripture says in John chapter 3, verse 16. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was Jesus who said those words, and he knew that he was speaking of himself in that regard. Jesus knew that he was going to die. Prophecy bears that out. Hebrews 53 tells us that he would be despised and rejected. Even before he came to earth, he knew what his place and position would be. It was David who wrote in the 22nd Psalm of being forsaken, but it was really a foretelling of what Jesus would say on the cross. And we can understand something then even more clearly about Jesus when he was on the cross, about how he would have felt forsaken. And yet, Jesus knew and understood his mission so very well. Because even among his disciples in Matthew or in Mark chapter 10, and in verse 45, Jesus would say, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life ransomed for many." Jesus prayed that he would do his Father's will. In Luke chapter 22 and in verse 42, again it's Jesus who says, "Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Remember when he was in the garden and his enemies were so close to coming and to take him away for trial and crucifixion. Jesus was not looking forward to the cross. Jesus would have loved to have missed the cross. But he knew his purpose. Jesus understood when he came to earth that he would die. So you see, there's some things here that Jesus knew and understood so very well. But what does this mean to you and me? And how does knowing these things help us today? It means that Jesus can help us in our troubles. When we understand the place and position of Jesus, when we understand some of the issues he had to face and deal with in this life, it helps us to understand that he knows what we face and what we deal with. He understands these things. He is, in fact, the understanding Savior because he himself faced trials, great trials, even as we do from time to time. We must face temptations. Temptations will come. Look with me, please, to the book of James. James chapter 1. Temptations will come. We can't run away from the fact that we will face temptations in life. James chapter 1, beginning of verse 2, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." I've said before, it's hard for me to think of temptations as being a good thing. But James is writing in such a way that we can find blessings even when we have to face temptations. If we understand and remember who we are, and we find ways to learn from that, we can overcome temptations. And when we do, we will become stronger. We will be lifted up and built in faith because of the temptations that we have dealt with. And when the devil tempts us, he will exploit our situation, even as he did with Jesus when he tempted him for 40 days. He tried to find weaknesses that he could prey on the Lord. And certainly Satan will do that with us too. And when Satan finds a weakness, he doesn't overlook it, but he will act on it. And so when we are weak, Jesus understands our struggle because he's had struggles before as well. He's had temptations before. even as we began in the lesson in Hebrews chapter 4, that he has faced and he has endured temptations so that he can understand where we are. He can understand what we face. He can understand what we have to deal with. And because of that, he can sympathize. He can sympathize with us, and he can feel our weaknesses and have compassion on us and help us. In Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and we begin, let's begin reading at verse 16. Hebrews 2 and verse 16. For indeed, he does not give help to angels, but he does give help to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he was obligated to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Do we think about the Lord in that way? Sometimes we just have to be reminded that when we are feeling some of our greatest temptations in life, that it's Jesus that we can turn to for help, that we can seek help from, as that advocate, as that intercessor for us before the Father, because Jesus knows and understands what it is to be tempted. And he will help. He will make sure we can endure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13, the apostle wrote this way. He said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." The Lord will make sure that if we choose to stand for what's right, he will hold us up in that. He will help us. He will help us to overcome whatever Satan throws our way. The Lord is willing to concern himself with our trials and weaknesses because he's been there before and he understands and he knows what that feels like and he has compassion. Let's know that we must face temptations, but we don't have to be alone. The Lord will help us. We must deal with friends that let us down. We've all been there, haven't we? Just times when those we have depended on have hurt us. And maybe it's one of the most painful circumstances in life when we feel as though we've been let down by our friends, or we feel as though we are betrayed and abandoned. Jesus knows. He understands exactly how we feel. In 2 Timothy in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul pins some words that helps us to understand that he knows what it's like to be left alone. In 2 Timothy 4, just picking out a few verses here in the latter part as he is concluding this letter to Timothy, Paul was hoping that Timothy could come and be with him soon because he was feeling alone. Verse 9, he says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, and Cretans for Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia." Paul was feeling alone. In verse 14, it says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his work, to whom you also be aware, for he has greatly resisted our words." And then verse 16, "At my first defense, no one came, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." It's interesting that the apostle, in a period of time where he had to have felt low and maybe even dejected because he was alone, some of his friends have left him for ungodly purposes even, knew that he wasn't really alone, but that at his lowest points he understood that the Lord still stood there with him. And we need to understand that the Lord will stand with us as well. When we face temptations, the Lord understands. He knows. He knows the struggle. He feels the struggle. He will help us to endure. And when we are alone and we feel as though we have no friends or that our best friend has left us alone, the Lord understands. The Lord will stand with us when we stand with Him. In that way, we are never alone. We must be willing to die. We must die to the world and die to sin and unrighteousness. Remember, when the Lord came to the earth, He knew what His purpose was, and He knew that He would die. We must be willing to die as well. Die to the world. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer serve sin. For he who has died has been freed to sin. On one hand, it sounds peculiar to say that we must be willing to die, but the Lord was willing to die. And we must be willing to die to sin so that we can walk with Him. We put to death, we crucify the old man of sin. And that's not always easy to do. But it was not easy for the Lord to walk to the cross. And as we've been studying some recently of the final days and now the final hours before the Lord walked to the cross, we see there was nothing easy about that. And so it's hard for us to put away sin. It's hard for us to die, let the old man die so we can put on the new. But Jesus understands. He understands how difficult it can be. The temptation to continue in sin is enticing because that's the way Satan presents it, in a way that will look good. But the Lord would teach us that bondage in sin leads to death. Still there in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as servant to obey, you are that one's servant whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? Verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were servants of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You see, through Jesus Christ, who died for us, we can become slaves of righteousness. No longer slaves of sin. No longer under the power and the influence of Satan, who will try everything he can to tempt us, in every way he can to make us feel alone. In every way he can, he will tempt us in some way to make sin look enticing. But we are the ones, if we are to be the people of God, we are the ones who have to be willing to die to sin, because through Jesus Christ, who died for us, we can become slaves of righteousness, as the apostle writes for us. The sacrifice of Christ, which he was so willing to give, ought to motivate us. It ought to motivate us to die to self and to live for him. So much so, even as Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is not I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. We should be willing to die and to put away sin. And so all of us, when we think, there are all of us who at times feel alone. There are all of us who feel alone, and we find that there are those times and moments of weakness. We have perhaps had friends that have forsaken us and left us alone to solve our problems in life when we thought we needed them the most. And sometimes all of us feel as though there is no one. There is no one who can understand what I'm going through. There's no one who can understand my problems. But I want us to understand there is one who knows. There is one who understands. That's Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ understands our pain. And he will work to take that away. We sang a song a few moments ago. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Indeed. He is there for us. He is there to help us. And we can truly cast all of our prayers upon the Lord, and he will hear our cares. And he will help us because he is our Savior and he is our God. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Just as we sung in that song a little while ago, we have a friend in Jesus. And he's waiting on us to come to him. For those who are Christians, we have an advocate with the Father who helps us with our sins. When we repent of our sins, we confess our sins, we pray forgiveness, we have that advocate with the Father that petitions him on our behalf. And when we are outside of Christ, but we know and understand that need, even as we read here, of being buried in baptism with Christ, putting off the old man, raising the new, our sins being washed away, Jesus is there. Jesus did that for us. So that we can have hope. He died for us so that we can have that hope. We have a friend in Jesus. We have someone who understands our every need. If we would just be willing. If we would just be willing to cast all our cares upon him. If we would just be willing to submit ourselves to him in all things. And submit ourselves to him in salvation. The salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, baptism for remission of sins. If you need to respond today, we hope that you will come. Jesus is calling. Will you come as we stand and sing?